A severe enough blow to the head can disrupt the functioning of the brain and cause damage to brain tissue. That's a traumatic brain injury when a blow to the head, a severe jolt to the head, a trauma, disrupts the function of the brain. Now, brain injury is a more general term, and it might include damage to the brain that occurs following surgery or a mishap in surgery. Here in this talk, I'm going to focus specifically on traumatic brain injury. Some of what I'll say might apply to other brain injury cases as well, but here I'm going to focus on traumatic brain injury because those are some of the most tricky cases in which to demonstrate disability. Now, I said I wouldn't give you the standard neuropsych rap, but that's not because it's wrong, it's just because it's incomplete. So, they're right. Traumatic brain injury is complex and it's highly variable. And one reason why is because what happens when the head is struck, and you can see this in the diagram here, is that the brain gets hit and then it's floating in some fluid there inside your skull and it starts to bounce around inside the skull. So that means that damage can occur in multiple areas. A coup injury is an injury that occurs right under the point of impact where the object strikes the head. That's coup is French for hit, so that's just what that means. But that's not the only place that the brain slams into the skull, is where the injury occurs. As the brain moves around and bounces around inside the skull, it can hit other parts of the skull, and that's called a contre-coup injury. Now, because the brain bounces around inside the skull, particular brain areas are more likely to be damaged than others. There are two kind of types of damage that occur following traumatic brain injury. The first type is what's called a focal lesion. Now, that's another jargon term that's in your jargon to English dictionary there in your handouts. A lesion just means damaged brain tissue, and a focal lesion is just damage in a particular area of the brain. Now, focal lesions following traumatic brain injury are more likely to happen in these areas shown here on the slide, in the underneath part of the frontal lobes and the frontmost part of the temporal lobes. And the reason for that is that a lot of parts of the skull on the inside are relatively smooth. But right there over the eyes, in that frontmost part, right underneath where the frontal lobes are, and in that front groove there where the temporal lobes fit, there's some bony ridges that stick up. And so when the brain bounces around in there, there are actually these bony protrusions that stick up and they can either bruise or tear brain tissue. So that's how damage and focal lesion gets into those particular areas of the brain, and that's why those areas are more vulnerable than others. Now, that doesn't mean that the damage can't happen in other places. It just means that statistically, that's where it's most likely to happen. Now, it's really unfortunate that those particular parts of the brain are so vulnerable to damage following traumatic brain injury, because those are exactly the areas that do a lot of processing of social and emotional information. So when they get damaged, the patient ends up with some severe social deficits. And those social deficits are a neurological problem that can be traced to damage. Now, the other thing that happens as the brain bounces around inside the skull is that there's a lot of twisting and shearing. So another thing that happens after traumatic brain injury is damage to the axons of the brain. Now, an axon is a long connective fiber. It's part of a brain cell. It's a long connective fiber that sends signals out, electrical signals out, to other brain cells. It's shown here in the diagram, the long part. It's also in your jargon dictionary with a diagram. Axons are covered with a white protein sheath surrounding that long connective fiber. It just makes the electrical signals go faster. And so bundles of axons together, because they're all coated with this white material, are called white matter. So when you hear a neurologist or neuropsychologist talk about white matter of the brain, they're talking about bundles of those connective fibers that are sending signals between brain cells. Now, this damage to axons occurs all over the brain, so the jargon term for that is diffuse axonal injury, DAI. So that, again, is explained in your jargon handout. Now, here's a quote you'll hear from neuroscientists and neurologists studying traumatic brain injury, that it's a process. Traumatic brain injury is a process, not an event. I don't have time to go into a lot of detail, but I'll just say that a blow or a blast to the head can set off a whole cascade of biochemical events in the brain. So the damage following brain injury doesn't all happen just at the moment of impact. Some of it might, but there's a whole series of chemical processes in the brain that starts at the moment of impact and unfolds over time that causes more damage to occur for days or weeks afterwards. Now that's a really important point to remember when you are trying to demonstrate disability following these cases, that just getting an account of what exactly happened and what was going on with the patient right at the moment of the accident may not be enough because the damage is continuous. Now, like I said, I don't have time to go into a lot of the details on what those chemical processes are in brain injury, but I've given you a reference to a book by Michael McRae on mild traumatic brain injury at the end of this PowerPoint slide, and there's really excellent descriptions in there. Now, the other thing is to remember is also that it doesn't actually have to be a physical object hitting the head. The blast wave from an explosion can cause damage to the brain also. In a sense, what happens is that there's a wall of compressed air that hits the head, and that's kind of like a solid object. For blast injuries, again, I don't have time here to go into a lot of detail, but I have put on my website, under the Attorney Resources section, a link to an article, a Popular Science article, about how explosions can cause traumatic brain injury. Now, brain injuries are usually categorized, traumatic brain injuries are usually categorized as mild, moderate, or severe. And that's based on what happens at the accident and immediately afterwards. So three medical things are usually used to categorize a brain injury as mild, moderate, or severe. The first is the Glasgow Coma Scale. You'll often see that abbreviated as GCS. That's in your handout too, as well as I've actually given you a separate handout, not just in the Jargon Dictionary, but a separate handout that actually lays out what the whole Glasgow Coma Scale is. Basically, it measures how alert and responsive someone is, looking at speech, at vocal output, at eye opening and eye movements, and movement, what they call motor behavior. Motor is just a neuroscientist jargon term for movement.